Dearborn. The program will include musical selections from Star Wars and Wicked, as well as family favorites like Sorcerer's Apprentice and In the Hall of the Mountain King. Audience members will become part of the show during a sing-along. A children's costume parade will take place, and there will be an adult costume contest. So make sure to wear your Halloween costume to the Horns and Howls event to celebrate the fun holiday with us. Single tickets can be purchased from the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center box office at 313-943-2354 or online at DearbornTheater.com. And keep listening to WHFR for your chance to win tickets to the Horns and Howls event on October 25th.
Happy Halloween.
Well, I finally improved my credit score.
What? The band is about to be discovered. Rock gods don't need to worry about credit scores. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, make ridiculous on-tour requests, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
Yeah, I'm not banking my retirement on a band that's never left your garage.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And this month, my special guest is Adriana. She is an intuitive medium, life coach, author, and Reiki practitioner. And I just want to say welcome to the show, Adriana. How are you today?
I am wonderful and very blessed. Thank you for asking me to join you today.
Oh, well, thank you. And first of all, I do want to thank you for being part of the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. You've done that for a couple of years now, and you were also a speaker at one of our events, so I really do appreciate you being a part of that. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I love your events. And I've received a lot of follow-up business, too, so it's a wonderful event. It's a cozy. There's something for everything. It's just the perfect size.
Well, that's good. It's a win-win situation for everybody, right?
Yes, and I enjoyed speaking, too. One of my gifts, if you will, is the ability to pass on the learning and teaching that I, myself, have had. I have benefited from some great teachers, including and probably most especially my mom.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you are a third-generation psychic, correct?
That is correct.
And is that your mother and grandmother, or who was that? What makes you the third generation?
It is. It's my mother and my grandmother. My grandmother actually came from Scotland. She's an immigrant. She came through Ellis Island. And to the day she died, she had a little bit of a brogue. Mm-hmm. And she would say, "Achtung, if it's not for ye, won't go past ye." She was just a fountain of information and wisdom, and she was also very psychic. However, I was not really aware of it to the extent that she was until she had already passed over to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I was told after she crossed that she did tea leaf readings in her kitchen, that the women of the neighborhood who wanted a reading would sneak in the back door, come in, get their reading, and then sneak back out again.
Right. So it was kind of undercover. Was that it?
Very hush-hush.
Yeah.
And it's something she didn't talk about with us. And so later, after she crossed and I'm learning how to do tea leaf readings, my aunt told me. I was shocked. And I was also saddened because she could have taught me. I could have learned from her knee. And instead, she's crossed, and I learned from someone else. And so the wisdom, the particular wisdom that she had, was lost.
Mm-hmm. Do you regret not being able to talk to her about that?
No. And the reason why is I'm psychic, and I do talk to her.
Okay, very good point.
And she is a huge force in my life in a psychic, in the psychic aspect of it. I do regret not learning, and I do regret that those secrets were kept.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you realized that you were psychic?
Can I answer that question in three parts?
Sure.
When I was a baby, my aunt stayed with us, my mom and my dad. We had a very unconventional life, but my aunt would sleep with me. And I, of course, don't remember this. I was just told this. But my dad said, she is getting too old for you to sleep with her. She's two. She needs to learn how to sleep by herself.
Mm-hmm.
So he forced my aunt to leave me alone in a dark room. And I screamed all night long. I would not stop screaming. And I believe that I was at that time extremely psychic, and that I was afraid without having my aunt, who I was used to having around me, and that traumatic incident changed the way I perceive spirit.
Okay, how so?
Well, I'm still opening up my vision to spirit. And I believe I was wide open when I was two, which is the reason why I was screaming for my aunt to come in and turn on the light.
Mm-hmm. Were you afraid? Was that it?
I know I was afraid of the dark. Mm-hmm. I am 52 years old. I am a psychic medium. Would you believe I sleep with a nightlight?
Really?
I do.
Well, hey, I mean, we all do what we have to do to get by sometimes.
My husband makes sure the nightlights are on for me, and
really?
There you go.
Oh, to this day, okay.
To this day.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that at two, I was psychic, and I needed what I had always had before, which was the protection of my aunt. So then, fast forward, I was eight, and there was a bad storm. I was terrified of tornadoes. And I went to sleep, and I was just frightened. I was afraid a tornado was going to come and sweep me up, and I had a nightmare about tornadoes. And then at the end of the nightmare, the tornado got smaller and smaller and came and sat down and pulled me onto its lap. And so I was sitting on the lap of the tornado. And afterwards, I woke up just knowing that I was safe and that I had an air elemental protecting me. I know that doesn't make sense, mm-hmm. but I just knew it.
Right. You just knew it intuitively.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the third part?
Okay. I'm going to make the story as short as possible, and it's the story of a gas cap.
Well, what was that again?
The story of a gas cap.
A gas cap. Okay. I did hear correctly. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes. I was 17, and I had been talking to my guides for some time and talking to them, and they would answer back, and I was asking about God, and I had been asking about God, and they were responding. But at that time, I was also questioning. I was saying, are you really there? Is this my imagination? Is this really happening? So I was a very good girl. I always did the right thing. And so my great big revolt was to borrow the car while my parents were sleeping. My stepdad was actually on the afternoon shift.
Mm-hmm.
So he slept weird hours. So he was gone from the house. My mom was sleeping. And I decided I'd go ahead and borrow the car. So I took the car and I drove it around. And back then, this was early 1980s,
mm-hmm.
cars generally got about 10 miles to the gallon. So if you drove that car for half an hour, you would definitely see the needle move in the fuel tank gauge.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'll just top it off at the gas station and no one will ever know. And the gas station was about a mile away from the house. And I did that and then drove home, parked, just feeling just wonderful, walked up the steps, and suddenly I realized I had left the gas cap on the top of the car. I hadn't put it back on. So I ran back and looked at the top of the car, no gas cap. And I was too frightened to take the car. And so I started running back to the gas station, which was about a mile away, and thinking, oh, my God, oh, I'm in so much trouble. Oh, no. I said, God, materialize a gas cap right in front of me right now. If you're there, I want a gas cap. And in my head, I heard a voice, and it was laughing, and it said, this is not the way this works. And by the way, this is not the worst thing that has ever happened. This is not the incredible, horrible thing that you think it is. I said, they'll never let me use the car again. My life is, I know it is over. Oh, my God. Aren't you there? Send me a gas cap. So I ran all the way down, and as I, and it was right around the corner, and as I got around to the corner, I saw a car pull into the gas cap. Pull into the gas station, open the door, and pick up something shiny from the ground,
right.
Close the door, and drive off. And I knew it was my gas cap. And I was so upset. And I thought, well, okay. So I turned around and started walking home, and I said, well, I guess I'll just have to face the music. I'm going to be responsible. I took the car. I'll have to explain everything. And this voice was just coaching me and talking to me about that and telling me that it was going to be okay. And I started feeling peaceful about this. And it was about 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. And this police car pulled up next to me. And by the way, and I know that this is not always the case, and I understand that, but sometimes police or other figures like that, security figures, are angels in disguise sometimes. Just know that.
Okay.
And the policeman opened up the window and said, lady, what are you doing? It's past curfew. Why are you walking the streets like this? And I just burst into tears and explained the horribleness of the fact that I had lost my parents' gas cap. He told me of a store open that late at night. In the 1980s, there were no Myers. There was nothing like that. That was actually open that might have my gas cap. So I actually went to the store, got the car. My gas cap was there. It was truly a miracle. And the whole time, this voice was in my ear laughing and talking to me about this, and I knew that I was guided and protected.
Based on what this voice was telling you, correct?
And the fact that policemen showed up right when I needed them to, told me about a store that was open, which was the only store around for, I don't know, maybe in the whole state of Michigan that would be open at that time, and had my gas cap.
Right. That's the important thing.
I was so proud about it. The next day I told my mom. There was no reason to not tell her that, hey, I ran into a problem and I fixed it. Does this mean I'm an adult?
Yeah, and you were grounded, right, or got in trouble,
no.
Or not? No,
he congratulated me.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. I guess it does pay to tell the truth, right?
Yes, it does. And, you know, I think that's the difference between a child and an adult, is that you learn that lesson. And I know that sounds kind of, ordinary, like, oh, that's when you learned you were psychic, but that's when I learned that God was protecting me and the angels were protecting me and that the voices in my head were real and had intelligent things to say.
Things you could depend on.
Yes.
That's very important. And real briefly, I just want to take time out to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest this month is Adriana. She is an intuitive medium, life coach, author, and Reiki practitioner. Now, moving forward, when did you reach the point where you felt comfortable giving other readings to other people? Was it a few years from, you know, when you were a teenager, or how did that come about?
Let me answer that question in two parts. After that, I trusted the fact that I was psychic for me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was getting information for me from my guides. So things that I was worried about, say my job or questions about what I should do, I would ask them. But I wouldn't really, it never even occurred to me to do this for anyone else. Some people may remember in 1987, there was a horrific plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually getting information about that plane crash.
Right. You're talking about the one here locally in Detroit, right?
Metro, yep.
Mm-hmm, right.
Metro Airport
mm-hmm.
in Detroit, yes.
Okay.
I was actually getting information about that plane crash. But being new at all this, I did not know it. I wasn't aware that that's what it was. I would see planes taking off, banking, trying to stay up, and crashing. I saw them over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. How far in advance was this of the actual event?
It was about 6 months.
Okay.
It made a huge impression on me because I was getting married, and I was to be married in July. Our marriage was July 11th, and then we were going to go on a honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was petrified of getting on that plane and taking off from Metro Airport because
mm-hmm.
I kept having these horrific dreams.
Right.
And I told everyone, I said, why am I having these dreams? You know, and the people were saying to me, well, it's because you're getting married and, you know, the plane is taking off. That's your married life, and the fact that it's banking and turning and then crashing, you're afraid that your marriage isn't going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, okay, well, and, you know, it's not the way I feel now. Actually, I feel like my marriage is going to last forever, but, you know, who knows? Maybe that's some deep-seated fear.
Right.
We actually got married, and I was just, it took everything I had to get on that plane, and I was holding on to my husband's hand, and he had claw marks for weeks.
Oh, really? It was that bad, huh?
And I said, honey, you know, okay, all we have to do is survive the takeoff.
Yeah, right, and then everything's beautiful, yeah.
And we did. Mm-hmm. We did. And then we got back from our honeymoon. It was 2 weeks later, and I was watching TV, and I heard about the plane crash, and I knew that what I had been experiencing was a psychic event and that I had seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know whether or not it was because I was seeing it just because it happened or because it had something to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Right. You couldn't make that connection at the time.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's a problem that that only time and training. You really have to train your mind. You have to prepare your mind through meditation, through visualization, and through exercises to sort of narrow it down so you're getting the useful information you need.
Mm-hmm. Right. But when you have a dream like that, I would, you know, see how that would happen, where you would just assume that it's probably a personal thing and it's going to happen to you somehow. But it was probably a relief in a way that, you know, obviously nothing happened to you on your honeymoon, but once you saw and heard about this crash, did that send chills throughout your body?
Yes. And I had told so many of my friends about this dream because it was so troubling. And I remember talking to one, and she said, Adriana, when I saw the news, I knew. She said, my heart just plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the flip side of that, when you have dreams, when you have messages like that, you sort of have to ask the question, should I have done more? Which, of course, I didn't truly
right.
understand it was a psychic moment. But looking back
right.
on it, if I had known, I would have meditated and tried to get more information about the date and time.
Right. Or the flight number or whatever it might be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there again, I mean, that's something where you can't really fault yourself or anybody in that position because, like you're saying, you didn't really know that was the specific event that you were dreaming about.
Right.
But, you know, it's just one of those things where, yeah, it would have been great if you could have done something. But, you know, has that happened again during your lifetime where you've had dreams and then you see something happening and you got more information and let other people know about it?
Yes. Yes. When Hurricane Sandy came in, I was told a year in advance about that, that there would be an event in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Around that time period, and I did tell friends, I did tell people, but I didn't I did warn them. But I think some things I'm told just because they want to let me know that mm-hmm. they're happening, not because I'm supposed to do anything about them.
Mm-hmm. Well, also sometimes, too, in retrospect, you realize that, that was about this certain event. You know, you don't always know at that time what it could be about or what it might be pertaining to. Is that correct?
Oh, my gosh. That is so, so true. And there's one thing that I still struggle with, and that's skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
My guides told me that there would be a terrorist act on a plane coming into Detroit. And I said, oh, yeah, how likely is that? A terrorist act trying to come into Detroit? Oh, sure. And then a month later, we had the shoe bomber.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I struggle with trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to work on that. We all have those aspects that we work on, that we're still learning.
Right.
We all have that.
Right. But there again, when you have something that seems to be so over the top, so to speak, you tend to wonder about that, like, well, how can that possibly be, or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I was told about, I am told about things. I'm told about storms, especially things with nature, things with volcanoes. My guides like to tell me about those things. It's sort of a way for them to say, look, we're monitoring this. We're going to let you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was told we had tornadoes in my neck of the woods a couple of weeks ago, and I was told about the tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up my husband and said, okay, you have to go downstairs because there's tornadoes coming. And then I asked my guides, do we have to go in the basement? And they said, no, not really. You'll be okay. I'm like, all right. I said, honey, go back to sleep.
Yeah, just ignore it.
Yeah, not the safest thing. But we had a Category 2 tornado less than 5 miles from our house.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing, too, about tornadoes is they don't always hit every single house. They can miss, a house or two, then hit another one. Hard to tell with a tornado.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. So
I have a unique belief about tornadoes and about hurricanes, especially hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricanes are actual entities. I've been able to contact hurricanes and talk to them.
Mm-hmm. How so? How are they an entity? I mean, they have their own personality or what?
Their own personality.
Right.
They're,
I'm sorry, not to interrupt, but is that based on the fact that they are named, that they actually have a personality kind of based on being named and labeled?
Yeah. I would say that actually gives them a little bit more power, having a name
mm-hmm.
and having the intention and the focus of so many people on them. That definitely gives them more power. And I also believe that, if enough people were to focus on a hurricane, they could direct its pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Where it travels.
Right. By putting out vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Positive thoughts. Some
mm-hmm.
people call it prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I connected with one hurricane, and it was just so interesting because it just was refusing to die. It kept going around the Gulf of Mexico and changing its course slightly so it would stay over water. And I talked to it, and it was like, I got to keep going. It was a sentient being.
Mm-hmm. So have you communicated in that respect to hurricanes much or hardly at all? How does that work?
I dabble in
mm-hmm.
it because it's just interesting to do.
Okay.
So I think that hurricanes are very powerful air and elementals, that category of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are fire elementals, there are air elementals, there are water elementals.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever watched a fire, you can see the flame stance. There's some people who will meditate and look at flame, and they'll ask the flame to rise a little higher, and it will.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the elementals are not at our command, but they will interact with us if we'd like them to.
Mm-hmm.
So what warned me about that tornado was an air elemental.
Mm-hmm.
It came and it danced on my legs.
Mm-hmm.
I now, felt the air and I thought, well, that's strange.
Right. I mean, how do you feel it? I mean, do you feel any pain or anything? Or is it just to feel some kind of vibration? How do you feel it?
I felt like air moving over my legs in a circular motion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, that's strange. That feels just like a tiny little tornado. Better
yeah.
check the weather.
Right. Yeah. Well, you never know, right?
Yeah, turn on the weather and, oh, look at that. Oh, okay.
Right. Then you understand it a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, and then my guides also said, you know, it might be time to go to the basement, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which also made me turn on the TV and check the weather.
Right. And once again, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Adriana. She is a intuitive medium, life coach, author, and Reiki practitioner. Right now, we're talking primarily about her being a medium. And again, getting back to the dream about the airplane, that kind of spurred you on or played a part in realizing that you might be able to do this professionally and help people, I guess, see their future or see what's going on with them?
You know, I mentioned I'm a third generation.
Mm-hmm, right.
My mother was a driving force in my life. When I was younger, I was sure she was a mental case. She was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Based she was on what very, you... very psychic, and she was just so different and so strange. I just thought that I think all children, well, maybe most children go through the time period where they think their mother is wacko.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if someone owns their own creativity and their own uniqueness as much as my mother did. So she was actually diagnosed with a chronic lung condition called pulmonary fibrosis, and she was given 3 years to live. She actually lived five. But that diagnosis brought us much closer together, and then she started teaching me. And one of the ways that she taught me is she took me to this wonderful place that's called the Great Lakes Retreat, and it is at Olivet College. It's happening this coming week. And if anyone would like information on how to come for a free day, just contact me. Or if you'd like to come for the entire week of mind-blowing spirituality, just getting in touch with your own abilities, just contact me. Oh, and you can contact me at mysticconnections.com. That's my website, or my email is Adriana, with two N's, at mysticconnections.com.
Mm-hmm. So you went to this retreat, and you learned more about being a psychic, or what did you learn at this retreat?
I did. I learned so much more about being a psychic. I learned, because I was around other people, that I was extremely psychic, and I could give readings to other people. I wasn't just psychic for myself. I was psychic for other people. I hadn't really tried before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had told me about this retreat previously. She said, oh, it's so relaxing. And I went, relaxing, huh? It sounds boring. She says, you meditate. You just really get in touch with yourself. And I said, oh, sounds great, Mom. You have a good time.
Mm-hmm. See you when you get back, right?
Oh, my gosh. When you go there, it's like Hogwarts for adults. You know, you learn how to do things,
mm-hmm.
like read palms, like numerology, read tarot cards, Reiki, Sacred Triad, which is the special type of healing that I teach, mm-hmm. that I've written a book about. You know, a lot of times I talk about the mundane things. I talk about the things like gas caps, like the mundane things, the small things in life. We tend to think of the big things that you want to be psychic about. But in truth, the small things turn into the bigger things. Our life is much more about the small things. And many people feel like, oh, well, you know, our angels don't want to be bothered with the small things. But our angels and our guides are there. They're interested in what we're interested in. They want to help us with the tiniest, smallest things. All you have to do is ask.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example?
Sure. This morning, I was sleeping. It was hard for me to wake up. And my guide said, you're going to miss a call because I have a mundane life. I have a 9-to-5 job. And they pestered me about it. And I got up, and there was a call that I hadn't been expecting on my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helped me a lot that they told me about this. If they hadn't told me about it, I would have, A, been complaining. Why didn't you tell me? Because I'm kind of used to all the help that I get.
Right. You gotten spoiled.
Also, it really helped my day. My day would have been completely different if I hadn't known about that call.
Mm-hmm. And not in a good way, huh?
Not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, the littlest things are the message. When I'm doing psychic readings for people, you know, I will see an indication, oh, okay, your loved one is saying that they sent a winged creature to you to talk to you, to bring you a message. Is there a winged creature around you? They'll say, no. And I'll say, oh, okay. And then they'll say, wait a second, this fly is bothering me. Hold on. A fly is a winged creature. We as humans tend to think of butterflies as good and flies as bad.
Right.
But that's what we put on them. You know, that fly is risking its life to deliver this message from your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that sounds crazy. I hear it, and I know it sounds crazy. And I just have to tell you a super quick story about that.
Okay.
I was sitting with my aunt, and my aunt, I have an aunt here, and I have the aunt who used to sleep with me when I was a little girl in spirit. And
okay.
Her name is Auntie Betty. And my other aunt is her sister, and she and I were sitting in a restaurant and just commiserating about the fact of how much we missed my Aunt Betty Sue. And a fly landed on the table. And I looked at that fly, because we'd just been talking about Auntie Betty, and I looked at it and I said, are you a messenger from Auntie Betty? And it stepped towards me. It kind of moved towards me really quick, just standing, not flying, and just sat on the table looking at me. And I said, hi.
Hmm.
Hi, how are you? And it just sat there, and I'm just smiling at it and talking to it and thanking it for delivering the message. And Auntie Betty knew we were talking about her, and my aunt saw the fly, picked up her menu, and went to smack it with the menu. I'm like, no, that's Auntie Betty. Don't do it.
Yeah, right. Don't want that to happen.
No.
So did the fly remain there or just eventually leave? I mean, what happened?
It did eventually leave, but mm-hmm. That's the way they communicate. They communicate through insects or with plants or with especially flowers. Mm-hmm. With coins that you're not expecting to see. A lot of times they communicate through electrical devices like your cell phone.
Mm-hmm. How so?
I was doing a reading for a lady. She had lost her son, and I did not know it, but she was testing me. And she had said, if this is real, she's going to mention the fact that I found your cell phone. And I said, he's showing me a phone. I don't know why he's showing me a phone. Are you expecting a call?
Mm-hmm.
Was he talking on the phone? Because he had passed in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Was he talking on the phone when he had the car accident? For some reason, he's showing me a phone. You know, and then she was continuing to get weird things happening on her phone. Another thing, my friend lost his aunt, and right about the time he got a text that said, "I'm okay," and then, "I'm with your dad." Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's quite something.
The number was belonged to somebody he'd never talked before with and who did not send the text. So they just borrowed the energy and that number to send that message through.
Mm-hmm. Something you wouldn't normally think of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, I mean, what other types of ways do you hear? I mean, you said from flowers. I mean, do flowers, how do they contact you? What do they do to you?
Well, there's such a thing as flower messages. Some mediums like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The different flowers have different meanings. Everyone knows roses are love. So the actual flowers themselves can have different, like for instance, if you have a flower but it has three different heads, then that particular flower can mean three different people in your life. But my friend's father loved yellow roses. So, and I did not know this, when he crossed, I sent yellow roses to my friend to the funeral home, and he said, "I know that was a message from my dad because he loved yellow roses," and I said, "Yep, I must have got that psychically."
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, if someone has a favorite flower, let's say it's a tulip. Let's say it's a snapdragon. So then I'm talking to that person. I say, "Okay, your mother's going to be sending you messages with flowers." They'll say, "Okay," and then they walk out and they see someone walk by with a T-shirt with a snapdragon on it. And then later they're watching TV and a commercial comes up for gardening and they see snapdragons on TV. They are walking and they see snapdragons in a yard. All of those things are all messages.
Mm-hmm. You just have to interpret them? Is that it?
Yeah, you have to be open to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it sounds like everything is a message. And the reason why it sounds like that is everything's a message. Everything is a message.
Right. Even though it might seem random, it's trying to tell you something. It's trying to speak to you somehow.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're being in your psychic mode, do you have a hard time turning that off? I mean, if you're just in a store or walking along the street or whatever the case may be, do you feel sometimes you have to go up to certain people to tell them something, or can you kind of shut it down so it doesn't really affect your daily life?
It does not really affect my daily life. I know there's some people who have a huge problem with it. I do not. There are some times that I do feel compelled to walk up to people and talk to them, give them a psychic message. 99% of the time, it's a beautiful, blessed thing.
Mm-hmm.
99% of the time. Anytime you're doing that, you're violating someone's space. You're going up there and you're assuming that this person is going to be open to a psychic message. It's considered very rude in the spiritual world where people sort of know about rules and understand and have been trained.
Right.
So we all like to watch Long Island Medium, but just know the magic behind the scenes. A producer went up there first and asked the person if they would be willing to be on TV and had them sign a disclaimer first.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I have been compelled to do that. My husband's cousin committed suicide.
Mm.
And we went to the funeral. He came through, and he truly haunted me. He would not leave me alone. he wanted to connect with his parents. And it went on for weeks, and I had to convince my husband to contact his mom, who's very Catholic and not open at all to these type of things, mm-hmm. to get me his parents' contact information. But I was, like, sitting in the bathtub, and he was literally moving my jaw, saying, I want to talk to my mom.
Mm-hmm. It was important for him to explain something to her? Was that it?
It was. Mm-hmm. And so then I called her, and her name's Kathy, and I said, I'm sorry. I hate to do this to you. It's probably terrible, but Doug's been talking to me, and he's been just pushing me to deliver these messages to you, so I apologize. She burst out crying. She said, I've been praying for messages. I've been praying and begging him to contact me. So he'd been haunting me for 6 weeks to make me do it, and it took me that long. She had been praying for it. And then the messages that came through were so beautiful and so amazing. He talked about his motorcycle. He talked about his pool table. He talked about his three kids. He had me call three times, once for him, once for his dad, and once for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Did this help the family at all, that he tried to contact them and let them know things?
It did. It was incredibly healing for them.
Mm-hmm. So they understood things a little bit better, why he did what he did?
Yes. The first thing he told his mother was that it was because of the antidepressant drugs that he'd been on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had had a huge fight with his father, and and it had been a holiday. And then following that, he took his life.
Hmm. That's too bad. I mean, that he would be driven to that point.
You know, the more I learn about it, the less on board I am with taking drugs for mental issues. I know that at times they're necessary, but being psychic, a lot of the symptoms of schizophrenia mm-hmm. are actually what people from a psychic family would consider messages.
Right. I've often wondered that. I mean, you know, people that are diagnosed as schizophrenics, is that really just messages that they don't know what to do with? Is that what you think sometimes?
I 100% believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids who are having these messages, you know, you asked me if I could walk in a store and not be affected. Yes, most of the time, if I'm getting messages, it's for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't forget the milk.
Yeah, well, that's important.
Yeah, that's important. Every once in a while, I'll get a message for somebody else. And when I do, I assume that there's a reason why, that it's important enough for me to interrupt this other person in their busy day and give them this message. I've learned the hard way that I'm not supposed to walk up to people and just impress them with my psychicness. That's just an ego trip, and that's not what my guides are going to support.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, your guides would cut you off? Is that it? I mean, not let you know if you tried to
go off the deep end? I'm not supposed to be the person who just walks up to someone and says, oh, hi, your dead mother says hello.
Yeah, right. Well, again, that would freak a lot of people out. I mean, especially if they are not interested in that type of thing, they would be either frightened or, you know, angry. Could be a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good that, you know, you just don't force yourself on people necessarily. I mean, I was just curious because, you know, some psychics I've talked to really feel a need at times to approach people, and they just have to let them know what they are receiving because it's so strong that they have to get it out.
That happened, like the whole situation I was explaining with my husband's cousin. I have felt the need to reach out to people and just talk to them about something. For instance, there was a lady in front of me about 6 weeks ago in line, and I said, I can see you're healing. You're doing much better than you were. She said, oh, my gosh, how did you know that? And, you know, I'd been told to give her encouragement about her healing journey. But is there's a lot of ego. And ego is not a bad thing, by the way. Ego is a good thing. It's a good thing to feel great about yourself and about what you're doing. But if you're just in this for the boost, for the fame, then, mm-hmm. boy, are you in the wrong business.
Right.
Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
This is about service. This right. is about being there when you're needed. You know, that policeman who stopped, he was doing the service of an angel when I was looking for my gas cap.
Right.
That's not the only time I have been angelically helped by someone being the hands and feet of an angel. And I like to pay that forward. I like to be the hands and feet of angels, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Help somebody else out in a difficult situation.
Absolutely.
Well, also, it must make you feel good when you can help people, though, too. I mean, you give them the right knowledge, whatever they need to know at the right time, so that they can improve their life or the lives of others.
So there's been numerous times when this has happened,
mm-hmm.
but I will feel compelled to stop while I'm on the road and help someone who is also on the road,
mm-hmm.
who's broken down or something has happened. One time I stopped, and it was a mother and her grown son. He was about 18, and they had the tire off. No, they had the bolts off, but they didn't have the tire off because the tire was frozen. So I stopped, and I was asking them how I could help. They were shocked that I stopped, that a stranger was there to help. And they explained that they didn't have a cell phone, so they couldn't call a tow truck, and so I let them use my cell phone. And then they said, we changed the tire ourselves, but the tire's frozen and we can't. And I said, well, my guides and angels would not have had me stop here if I couldn't help you. And I grabbed the tire and I shook it and it came free.
Hmm. So you really did help them out in a tremendous way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, it goes back to, you were saying sometimes it's the simple things that can really mean a lot. And I'm sure in that case, that simple thing really meant a lot.
I was driving and I pulled, and there was a truck and he told me to stop and it had run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And he had two little babies in the back of his car, of his truck. It was a cab. And I said, oh, I could get you gas if only you had gas cans. I don't have gas cans. And he had the strangest look came over his face and he went to the back of his truck and he pulled out gas cans. And I said, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and got them filled for him.
Well, that obviously helps him out.
I have been detoured out of my way to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I have been detoured an hour out of my way without realizing that I'm going in the wrong direction to help people.
Mm-hmm. You just feel compelled to go to a certain place to help somebody?
My husband was driving, and I had been asked if I would be willing to help someone if it was a little inconvenient for me, and I said, sure. So he went on the freeway, and he drove an hour the wrong way. And my husband's a very good driver. We were both seeing signs, but both of us were just sort of blinded to the fact that we were going the opposite direction. We saw this car, and I said, honey, we have to stop and help them, because he's aware of my little issue.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled over. They had two kids in the car. They had, again, a flat tire. And they didn't have a cell phone, and they had been there for about 10 minutes, and they were wondering how in the world. And my husband changed their tire, and they borrowed my cell phone, and they said, thank you. And then they said, where were we from? And we explained where we were. And we literally, both my husband and I, thought we were 10 minutes away from Flint. We were actually all the way on the other side of the state.
Wow.
I swear to God, we were 10 minutes from Lake Michigan.
Hmm. Just a little detour, huh?
Just a little detour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to take time out to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Adriana. She is an intuitive medium, life coach, author, and Reiki practitioner. Now, here's something I want to know about. When you are dealing with a client, is there anything special you do to get ready to help somebody out?
You know, I'm an energy healer, and I use the sacred triad to do healing, which I use that to channel ascended masters and angels.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do Reiki, but I prefer the Sacred Triad for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm working with a client, I will feel what they're feeling in their body. So if someone's having shoulder pain, I'll pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
And if I pick it up, I know that I can help them release that pain. And I do that a variety of ways. One of the ways I do it is by channeling ascended masters who come in and take the pain. An ascended master that most people are familiar with is Yeshua. Some people call him Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of him.
Yeah. I'll channel him. He's a fabulous healer, amazing healer, will come in and help. And I touch people, and the pain vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes more than a second, but sometimes it's just a touch, and it vanishes. When I'm preparing for a reading, what I do is I try not to eat a lot that day. I personally have a problem with eating a huge meal and then doing a reading. I need to eat very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also meditate about that person. And I wish I could tell you that I meditate for hours, but I'm kind of an ADD type of meditator. So
okay.
I generally meditate for about 3 minutes.
All right.
Yeah, okay, meditate. Got it. Okay,
yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, well, sometimes it takes people less than time, and you never know. If you get the right message, that's the important thing.
I think most psychics tend to just open up and start this. I always start by begging and pleading with my guides and angels. Please send me messages. Please send somebody. You know, it worked for my gas cap day, so from then on, that's help. Send me something. And I'll get someone in, and I'll feel the energy. It's either male or female, and I'll start asking them about the situation, about the person that I'll be doing the reading for. And they'll tell me, oh, they've got a great new job coming up, but they're not going to try for it because they're too frightened and they're just going to stay where they are in this job. So please give them some support and let them know they could try for that new job, but they're going to have to actually put out a resume, do an interview. They're going to have to try for it. So I'll get that type of information.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll get, oh, you know, Uncle Bud is here, and he just wants to say hi, and he's really sorry for the mess that he made before he left. You know, I'll get that kind of information, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we start the reading, then I'll feel that connection, and we'll start talking about the job. We'll start talking about the uncle who crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the information just flows.
Mm-hmm. Do you just convey the information that you receive, or does the client also sometimes want to know about a specific person or situation in life?
Absolutely, the client does. And a lot of times, readings are about love. A
mm-hmm.
lot of times, they're, when am I going to meet that person? And the answer is, you have to go out and find that person. Prince Charming or Princess Buttercup
right.
isn't going to walk and knock on your door.
Right, your soulmate.
Your soulmate. You know what? We have multiple soulmates in
mm-hmm.
this life.
Right. I think that's one thing. People just assume that, you know, their soulmate's out there. They're going to fall in love. And their soulmate could be somebody, you know, halfway across the world. You never know.
It's a very romanticized view
mm-hmm.
of life that there's only one person in this world that you'd ever fall in love with. And we're all reincarnated. We all have had many lives and many partners. A lot of times our loved one in this life was a son or a daughter or a mother and father in another life. So there's layers in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you'll meet people and you'll have this instant connection with them. And you know in a past life there was something there.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen many times.
Right. Is this with people, friends of yours or family members or who?
People you meet.
Mm-hmm.
I met this at retreat. I met this man, and an older man. He was in his 70s. And I looked into his eyes, And I was in my 40s at that time. And I recognized him as one of my past mates. And I was smiling into his eyes. And he said, "I know you. I remember you." And he was a little embarrassed about it because this lifetime, we weren't together. He was so much older. We were strangers. And I said, "I know. I do too. Hi."
Mm-hmm.
"Nice to see you." And I was getting flashes of that past life with him. It was very cool. We were comparing memories.
Right.
Very cool.
But you felt a certain connection to him, correct?
I did. And in the journey, in this journey, which we're all in, even as I'm saying this, I know on that skeptical side of myself, I'm hearing, "Well, yeah, but how do you know for sure? How is it that you 100% know that it wasn't just that in that moment in time you just liked that guy?"
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is that we had such specific memories that were so similar. It was just striking. We were on a different planet. I said, "This guy was red." And he's like, "Yeah." And it was really rocky, wasn't it? I'm like, "Yeah, there's lots of rocks. There wasn't like green vegetation the way we have here." He's like, "Yeah." You know, and it was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. But you just felt that connection.
That happens. A lot of times people will want to get into love affairs with people that they've had relationships in a past life, and they don't know why. They're just drawn to this person. And in truth, that is not the right person for this lifetime. They just have a memory of being with that person.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you met your husband, did you know he was going to be your husband right away, or how did that work?
I did not.
Mm-hmm.
He, when I met him, he was thick, and he was all bundled up, and he just looked so miserable. I remember thinking, "Boy, I do not want to get next to him because he's going to give me a cold." So
yeah.
It was. But when he touched me for the first time, electricity went through my body. I had never felt that before with any other person. And in a way, I fell in love with him the moment he touched me.
Mm-hmm.
His energy is so amazing. And he's a skeptic, you know, until he met me. He, of course, so many things have happened that, of course, now he knows, but for him, this is such a strange world. He's only kind of stepped foot in it a little bit.
Right.
He took Reiki, and he's learned what a magnificent healer that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I knew he was an amazing healer as soon as he put his hands on me.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's something. Again, I know you touched on it earlier in the program, but how can people get in touch with you, and what else do you have going on? I know you're a very busy lady. What else is going on in your life right now?
Well, I've written a book, and it's about the sacred triad and how to use this sacred geometry for healing, for channeling ascended masters, and for connecting and teaching the basic steps of how to be a medium and how to connect. For information about my book or about a reading for me, you can contact me at adriana@mysticconnections.com or my website, mysticconnections.com. I also have a monthly radio show called Adriana Mystic Connections, Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. And I'm starting my own blog talk radio network.
Oh, there you
go.
So
it's launching August 2nd. I'm looking for hosts. So if you're interested in hosting your own radio show, please contact me at adriana@mysticconnections.com. And very affordable packages.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all psychic. There's been for the last 2,000 years, there's been a fear about being connected or being psychic. Seems like only certain men in the Bible were allowed to be talking to angels and to God. The truth is, we are all connected. We are all one. psychicness is in our DNA. It's how we connect to the other side. Before we come here, we're all together in different mansions in heaven. We come down here, we're away from what we're used to. It's like being underwater in a way, living here on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so our psychicness is our air tube up to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we're connected to spirit. And our loved ones on the other side, our guides, our angels, are constantly talking to us, are constantly sending us messages and advice and love and energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are very good points. And Adriana, that's going to do it for this interview. Unfortunately, we've kind of run out of time, but I really do appreciate the fact you're on the show today. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
I have loved being here, and thank you so much for the opportunity, Mike. Thank you, and thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for spreading information about metaphysics.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, that is going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I do want to thank my special guest this month, Adriana. She is an intuitive medium, life coach, author, and Reiki practitioner. We didn't really get to do, you know, too much talking about some of the other things she does, but again, interesting conversation. Some different points were made, so that's always a good thing. So I thank her for being on the show this month. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Be sure to join me for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking on the third Tuesday of next month. In the meantime, have a great day, everybody.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Yo, guys and dolls, you're at the Malt Shop with Daddy G. Here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. 30 years, we're just getting started. And today, we're going back to the 50s and the 60s. And hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror. Grab your favorite squeeze and head on down to the Malt Shop, where the music is playing and the kids are dancing. And here we are.